The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's racing on this edition. You'll hear it all live from 1:20pm on Racing Radio. Ross Briley, John Budden and Ollie Pimlott will be the team in the studio. And we have four meetings to look forward to on Tuesday. In the afternoon it's Carlisle and Worcester. In the evening we have racing from Nottingham and Stratford. So a good mix of both flat and jumps action on Tuesday. My name is Mark Walton. And joining me in the studio to look ahead to the action is Lord John Budden. How are you, John?
I'm pretty good shape. Really am, Mark, and much looking forward to the action.
Good. You're in here, John. You won't be able to go to Carlisle tomorrow. What are they going to do without you?
I know, it's desperate, isn't it? And there's a new general manager there, a lady from the hotel industry, and a hive of industry it'll be.
Good. Well, we'll look forward to that card in a few moments. But before we do so, we're going to take a look back at some of the weekend action in this week's edition of the Monday Jury. And a good weekend to look back at as well. We'll start in the first question, which is, what did we learn from an intriguing Prix-Jacques Le Marois, John?
Well, I rather agree with William Haggis, who was actually on the official jury. I don't think we learnt a great deal, actually, Mark, that we didn't know before. But it was a thrilling race, a most exciting race with high-quality horses. What did we learn? Well, I think we learned that Intello remains a very live candidate for the Arc. Intello hit a flat spot in the middle of the contest, and I thought that the French horse was going to drop out of it altogether, but he didn't. He actually stayed on strongly, and I'm convinced that over the extra half mile, we'll see Intello in the mix at Longchamp. And I think 8-1, which William Hill, I believe, were suggesting was the price on Sunday afternoon, was very generous about Intello.
Okay. I'll just get the price up here just to confirm that, John. Intello for the Arc is 8-1, yes, you're right. Yeah,
I thought that was a fairly generous price. What else did we learn? I think we learned that Moonlight Cloud is an absolutely classy mare and or filly, that 7 furlongs is probably her best trip. She's marvellous at 6. I think she just got home over a mile. Olympic Glory ran a super race, really. I thought that horse would run very well, would have won in another stride. And I don't think we should forget Declaration of War, who also ran well. I was against Dawn Approach, and after the race, the wizard Darren Owen really did thump me down as to what Dawn Approach would do next. And I said, well, I really hope he'd be given a break and he'd be brought back for the QE2. And I think that is going to be the plan.
Yes, according to the Racing Post on Monday, he's going to be given a break and then come back in the QE2, and that would be a possible meeting with Toronado again, wouldn't it?
It could, yes.
But for him, do you think it was just a race too many in quick succession for Dawn Approach?
I do, definitely. Tough as, you know, Tiki is, but it was one too far, I think.
Yeah. I think they were asking a lot to come back after some few days, and they did it again at Ascot, in the Royal Ascot after the Derby, and what was it, 5 group ones in the space of 2 months or something like that?
He's been on the go since quite early in his 2-year-old days, and Dawn Approach has not let anyone down. He'll come back all right, and I hope that they don't try anything before Ascot.
Yes. Okay, on to the second question then. What do you make of the Guinea scene after Walkerman's Courier Eclipse?
Well, it was a disappointing run, was it not, War Command? Excuses have been made in that the Coventry form has been knocked. I'm not altogether certain whether that's true. War Command looked absolutely marvellous at Royal Ascot. He wasn't able to dominate on Sunday at the Curragh. That was actually an issue which took place throughout the afternoon at the Curragh. Several horses who had shown that they liked to be in control from the start weren't able to do so. He looks a magnificent colt. I'm sure he will actually prove himself to be a really up-and-coming individual. Guineas, I would just not go into War Command for the Guineas. I'd just wait and see.
OK. How impressed were you with Tapestry's victory in the Debutante Stakes?
Reasonably impressed. I thought she did the job well. She quickened nicely to score, beating one or two really fancied fillies, one of her stable mates, and that was perhaps, I think. And she did the job nicely, far too early, in my view, to think about the 1,000 guineas. I think a lot more really classy fillies will appear in the next couple of months.
OK. She will be suited by the step up to a mile, though, probably, won't she?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. She showed, you know, a really good turn of foot, I thought, and was staying on strongly at the end of the race. Yes, undoubtedly. And, you know, if Aidan O'Brien, when we get round to it next spring, has got Tapestry as his number one, well, then I think, you know, she'll have to be very, very seriously considered.
OK. Did Itimal Sweet Solera win suggest that she can develop into a Guineas or Oaks filly?
No. That would be my brief answer, Mark. I've never liked the Sweet Solera as a Guineas or Classic test. I think it's a race that is overrated. The horse ran well. She won tidily, but I thought it was a below-standard Sweet Solera anyhow.
OK. And if you look at Godolphin's last four winners of the race, Long Lashes, White Moonstone, Discourse and Certify, none of them went on to win the Classic. So.
I honestly don't think it's a great 1,000 guineas trial.
OK. Who else has caught your eye of late then, John?
Well, a number of horses have caught my eye of late, but two particularly. I was very impressed with Slade Power, winning the Group 3 at the Curragh on Sunday. And I think this is a ready-made, follow-up to Soul Power, both in the same ownership, of course. Slade Power had caught my eye in the July meeting at Newmarket, running on really strongly. I thought that Slade Power, although I napped hopefully against him with a 16-1 shot, just because I needed a long-priced winner, which didn't come off. At the time, I thought Slade Power would win. I was very impressed with the way Slade Power quickened, and I think there are other really quite major sprints to come his way. And then on what you might call the classic and possible Guineas contenders for the following month, the Nace victory of Great White Hawk was actually very eye-catching indeed.
Great White Eagle.
Great White Eagle. I knew it was a bird. Great White Eagle. Thank you, Mark.
OK, so two to follow there. Another one that I saw in Ireland of late as well was the Aidan O'Brien runner in the Camford Cliff Stakes, India Maharaja. Went off long odds on, but impressive and one on the up as well. So
he's got a lot of really decent animals, always does, of course, Aidan. And, you know, in this podcast about 3 weeks ago, I was asked almost the same question, what was the horse he would follow? And I said Maputo with a very loud voice on that occasion. And I do think Maputo is still a really good horse to follow. I mean, he was an excellent win in the Royal Whip. And so Maputo, to me, is a grade one horse in the making.
Yes, he stepped into group company with consummate ease, didn't he, on Sunday? And finally, John, the final question this week's Monday jury. Give us a winner at York next week.
Well, I'm convinced Well Sharp will go very close to winning the Ebor, Mark. I said that again about a fortnight ago, and I haven't changed my mind. I think he's very generously priced at the moment. And Well Sharp is a horse I have known well in the past. He was sold for a lot of money from Andrew Tinkler to John Joe O'Neill. He was ridden by Fran Berry extremely intelligently at Ascot to win the Ascot Stakes. But he's got speed, and I'm absolutely convinced he will go close over 1.6 at York.
OK, 12-1 for Well Sharp at the moment in the betting for the Ebor. That's the Monday jury then for another week. And we'll now move on to Tuesday's racing. We're going to look at three races at Carlisle, and the first of which is the 2.45, which is a handicap, a classics handicap over nearly six furlongs. It's just short of the six furlong trip. Who do you want to start with here, John?
Well, I think we might start with the top one, Fairy Wings, representing Violet Jordan, a recent winner last time out. Not going to be my selection for this race, but it's interesting that Violet Jordan is sending Fairy Wings to Carlisle. She travels her horses with great success, and I certainly wouldn't rule that one out. I think Fairy Wings has got a good chance. I'm interested in a couple of others. Richard Whittaker's horse, Diamond Blue. I don't think Richard's got a great deal of hair, but he must be tearing out what he's got left about Diamond Blue. I was standing next to Simon Whittaker earlier in the season at Carlisle in a similar sort of 5 furlong race, and Simon said to me, you know, our horse will win this race if he manages to get out of the stalls on time. He said, we've tried absolutely everything with this horse, but we haven't really been successful. And unfortunately, on that occasion, Diamond Blue did exactly that. Reared up just as the stalls opened, lost a lot of ground, finished like an absolute train, just missed out on winning. Hasn't won since, but he's a horse with a certain amount of talent. Now, I think he's got all kinds of headgear on tomorrow, Mark.
It doesn't say on here.
It doesn't. No. Well, I think you'll find he has. They've tried every kind of device. I very much fancy he's got eyepieces and either a hood or a sheepskin type of noseband. Everything will try and get Diamond Blues to score. Whether he will be open to question, in my view. A couple of others worth mentioning in this race. Captain Royale, Tracy Waggett, good win from Ingenti at Newcastle 2 outings ago. Reasonably informed. Tracy Waggett's horses certainly are. But my selection will be Emily Hall for Brian Smart and Royston French. Now, Emily Hall came into form at about this time last year. He was runner-up in quite a decent event at Redcar in 2012 at this time, at, in fact, the last Redcar meeting. And I fancied him very much for a follow-up to go one better. He travelled extremely well at Redcar, did Emily Hall, or she did, until didn't really get a clear run in the closing stages and failed to pick up behind Little Jimmy Oddsox. But she wasn't beaten that far and was eased when a position in the first three was out of the question. Finished 7th in the end. This is a weak race. Emily Hall, well-weighted, comes out stable in form. Remember, movie star winning at Goodwood. And I think Emily Hall could go well at a decent price.
OK, Emily Hall there. Just going back to the headgear for Diamond Blue. Yeah, according to the Racing Post, Diamond Blue will be wearing the hood and cheek pieces. So
yes.
Only the cigar missing for the full set of headgear.
Very nearly. It'll be very interesting to see what happens to Diamond Blue, but I hope he doesn't beat Emily Hall.
Okay, then. The 3:15 at Carlisle next, then, and we've got the two-year-olds in action here. It's a Class 5 nursery over 5 furlongs, and we've got a two-year-old very much on the up in the shape of 3 times a lady who's bidding for the hat-trick here, John.
Yeah, going to be very hard to beat, isn't it? 3 times a lady. Sir Mark Prescott doesn't send all that many horses to Carlisle, but when he does, they almost always either finish in the frame or win. Grandmother's rule number 6 or 7 is follow the top weight in a nursery.
Yep.
And 3 times a lady's got every chance. But this is quite a good little nursery. Pull the plug one last time out and, you know, is back again. There are 1 or 2 others in the field, like Paul Green's De Repente, who won well at Carlisle a couple of outings ago. And in particular, the one I think is a major danger is Soul Instinct. And this is Kevin Ryan. And I watched this horse run at Carlisle in a similar sort of race last time out. He's owned by Dominic Cork, and our great Gordon Brown, who remember refers to cricket as rounders, referred to the winning owner at Carlisle as Dominic Cook. But in fact, it's owned by the very famous English cricketer Dominic Cork. And I thought showed a lot of guts to go through with the effort and score in quite a decent race at Carlisle. So I do have to go for the top weight. I think Sir Mark's filly, 3 times a lady, will win, but Soul Instinct could be the value.
OK. And we move on to the 3:45 next, and we finish with a claimer here. It's a class 5 claimer over a mile and one furlong. And shall we start here with Memory Cloth, John, who's a pretty staple performer in these northern tracks, and drops into a claimer from pretty lofty company before this.
Yes, it's got to be a danger of Memory Cloth, hasn't it, for Brian Ellison? I have a sort of little theory about claimers, though, Mark, and it does seem to work, or it has worked out quite well at Carlisle this season, and that is that trainers who put in their horses at the top of the scale, whatever it may be, 12 grand or 15 grand, and they therefore get top weight, don't often win. It was a very decent theory last time out. Beacon Lodge represented Dandy Nichols in a similar race about a fortnight ago at Carlisle. Everybody thought he'd absolutely sure to win. I felt that he was giving away too much weight because he was in for 15 grand. And in fact, he ran very disappointingly indeed, Beacon Lodge, and finished third behind Extraterrestrial. So although Memory Cloth is likely to run well, he doesn't actually follow my theory. I think that there are two dangers to Memory Cloth, and they could easily beat Memory Cloth, both of them. Grand Maestro, for one, is certainly about to win a race of this type or a small handicap. Ran well last time out very recently for Ruth Carr, finishing second. He's got Luke McNiff in the saddle taking three. I think Grand Maestro is a serious danger, but I'm going to go for a horse who's always shown his best at Carlisle, and that's Toto Scarlatti. I think Graham Gibbons is in the saddle today, and Toto Scarlatti has run at Carlisle twice recently. He was in that claimer, which was won by Extraterrestrial, Beacon Lodge being third. That was about a fortnight or 3 weeks ago. He's a horse who's like me, carries plenty of condition, you know, Mark. But he does actually go rather quicker than me, I'm glad to say. He ran a fine race. He was only just beaten by Extraterrestrial two outings ago. And then Connections ran him in the Ladies Only Night at Carlisle last Monday, and he was ridden by possibly the most inexperienced lady rider on show at that meeting, and she just let him go. And by the time he turned into the home straight, Toto Scarlatti had had enough, and he weakened out of it in the closing stages. But with a stronger male rider on board and back in claiming company on a reasonable mark, I think Toto Scarlatti is the one they've all got to beat.
OK, Toto Scarlatti then in that 3:45. Let's just have a quick summary then, John, if we can, if you want to give us your selections for Carlisle one more time.
Well, we go in the 2:45 for Emily Hall to get back on a winning way for Brian Smart and Royston French. Then in the 3:15, although I think Soul Instinct will run well, have to go for the top weight. Three's a lady, Sir Mark Prescott. And in the claimer, it'll be Toto Scarlatti.
OK, good stuff, John. Thank you very much. Enjoy at Carlisle on Tuesday. Well, you've been here, haven't you?
Yes, indeed. I shall enjoy watching.
So there you go, then, the thoughts of Lord John Budden and his selections for the card at Carlisle on Tuesday. You'll hear all of Tuesday's action with John in the studio. He'll be joined by Ross Briley and Ollie Pimlott. It's Carlisle and Worcester in the afternoon, Nottingham and Stratford in the evening. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:20 p.m. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.